Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series about Kiki, the globe-trotting calico kitty exploring the world's diverse people, places, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families love the books and have been asking for help planning their own adventures. So here we are. Adventure awaits. In this episode, travel mom Caitlin joins us to talk about her family's three-week adventure across Stockholm, London, and Paris. Good afternoon. Hi, Caitlin. Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so excited to have you here. I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners. You guys are going to love the experiences that Caitlin's going to share today. She, I think, has a dream scenario in traveling with her family. So, Caitlin, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, I'm so excited to be here, to be a part of this. I have a very deep appreciation for travel, especially with children, having grown up in a household that really valued that. So my parents were world travelers. They actually met as they were circumnavigating the world, I think for the third or fourth time through semester at sea.
You're kidding.
No. So travel is a very important part of my family's personal history. And that was all inspired by my grandparents on both sides. So I absolutely intend on paying that forward to my children. It has shaped who I am today and how I view the world. So yeah, I'm professionally a partner at Initialize Capital. So I'm an investment partner there. And prior to that, I worked in the world of tech and startups as a people leader and executive. So managing HR and recruiting and all of that good, fun employee experience stuff. And before that, I was at Pixar. And before that, a number of other things. So similar to my worldly travels, I have made some decent journeys in my career as well.
So exciting. Gosh, and I love the Pixar piece. It sounds like you did a lot of traveling with the family last year.
So yeah, we have two kids, Luca and Juno, two little boys. Luca is 5. Juno just turned 2 this last week. And at the time, I was working at Reddit, which is one of the internet's sweethearts, and had an incredible opportunity in my role to evangelize and really talk about what it was like to not just work at Reddit, but what Reddit provided online in terms of community. And so marrying the idea of community within an organization and the communities that we were bringing together online was something that I was very passionate about. And somehow got in this incredible flywheel of being invited to speak and participate at a number of different events around the globe. And so just because of the timing of things, both boys not in school just yet. Luca has a late birthday, so he'll start kindergarten this coming fall. My husband is an entrepreneur himself, and so he has ultimate flexibility. His companies are still very young. I was like, my goodness, if I'm going to be going around the world, why can't I bring my family with me? This is a perfect opportunity.
Wow. So where all did you go?
We literally went everywhere.
Did you? I mean, like literally around the world?
Yeah, we got pretty close. Last year, we didn't hit any of the Asias, but we had some very, very good European time from Stockholm to London to Paris. We did some time in the south of France. I went to Australia in there. There was a lot of domestic travel from New York, San Francisco, obviously, Denver down south, Northern California, Southern California, Nevada. Wow. Taking the boys to go see a Las Vegas show was quite...
Stop it. What did you take them to see?
Well, we definitely were very impressed with the showgirls on the street. That was exciting. Everyone looked like a peacock. So,
gosh, yes.
And I gotta say, I really don't like Vegas as a traveler for, you know, just personal
going. Yeah, exactly.
But experiencing Vegas with children was actually really, really fun. We did the, you know, the medieval banquet. It was a total blast with a, you know, not at a bachelorette party.
Right, exactly. Well, you're definitely seeing a different side of it with children. Wow. Traveling that much last year with a five-year-old and then not even two-year-old. How was that? How did it go?
It was a lot of fun. I would say the anxiety before our first really big trip was high. Traveling with one kid for the first time is an event. You have to bring all of your gear. There's so much gear and so much gear that you don't need, but you don't know that until you know that. And so that's a lesson that you have to learn on your own.
Right.
Just reading and hearing, you know, sage advice from more experienced parents. But, you know, so first baby is challenging because you know, you're so worried about them getting sick. You don't know how fragile they are just yet. You're worried if you're being selfish. You have all of this stuff to lug around and it becomes very expensive. And then you get used to it and you figure out your groove and your rhythm with your family. You figure out what you need, what you don't need. You figure out some of those like travel hacks. And then if you invite a second child into your situation, it becomes complicated all over again for different but similar reasons. The last big adventure that we took as a family of four was a three-week European tour late last fall. So going into it, I was like, okay, I want to maximize our time together, you know, given that it was a work trip for me, essentially. I wanted to maximize the family time. So I had to really figure out the schedule and kind of time box my on time and my off time. I'm really good at traveling lean and light, but it was also my little one's first international trip. And so I just didn't know. He was an unknown quantity. I didn't know.
Right.
Freak out. We had done domestic trips with him. We'd flown, you know, across the country. At worst, you're looking down, you know, 5.5 hours on a flight with a screaming kid, which he never was, but you just never know.
You just don't know. Yeah. And now you're, you know, going from San Francisco to Europe, which is right. Double the time.
And not just hunkering down in one spot either. I mean, we were talking 12 different flights on this one.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, some places we could rent cars, other places we couldn't. Like there were just so many different moving parts and having this little, you know, unknown quantity lump of a child. I was like, okay, let's get organized here. So we left San Francisco, went to New York as kind of a waypoint. That was my first speaking gig. So we had some time in New York. I have some family out there. So we did that. And then we went over to Stockholm and spent a decent amount of time in Sweden for another engagement. And then popped over to London for a long weekend. And then to Paris for another week and then home. So it was a 3-week adventure with lots of small little legs in there, but it was such an incredible time. The boys did fantastically and they missed it when we got home. They were like, wait, what? We don't get to live this life? What's happening?
That's so cool. Well, and to get them going at such a young age, that is fantastic.
We got really good advice from one of our actually birth coaches when I was pregnant with my first child. We'd had some trouble, difficulty getting pregnant, and we kind of had gotten to the place where I was like, you know what, we're going to live a child-free life and that's going to be great for us and we'll figure out what that looks like. And then of course I got pregnant and it's...
Of course.
Just when you settle into the idea that things might be different than you planned, the world will get you from the side. So at any rate, we were talking with a birth coach in kind of that last phase and I looked at her and I was like, hey, you know, we've built a pretty great life. We do a lot of things that I really enjoy. Travel being one of the most pleasurable things that we can do together. That's, you know, how we built our relationship. My husband and I have been together for 21 years at this point.
Oh, wow.
That has been our glue and our common, you know, inside and out hard times and not. We always go back to traveling. That's where we spend the majority of our funds. We don't invest in other areas of our lives that others do. We still rent.
Do you really? Yeah. I always say, like, I don't decorate. I travel. That's my thing.
Exactly. If it's your thing, you know it's your thing. So
yeah.
So I looked probably very pathetically at this birth coach and I was like, I don't feel great about giving this up. And I know that this is a trade that I wanted and I desperately wanted. And so can you help me? And she looked at me and straight as an arrow just said, I have four boys of my own. They're all under 18. And I have not stopped doing the things that I love. She said, children, babies are blank slates. You create the life that you want for them. They do not know any better. They are not born into this world demanding blackout curtains or noise machines. If you travel, keep traveling. If you're a road tripper, keep doing that. If you like to go out to dinner, keep doing that. Take them and they will adopt the life that you want to give them. So don't—
What great advice. Wow.
Yeah. So I feel very fortunate that she had shared that with us early on, because I think otherwise I would have been probably too anxious, or, you know, waited longer. And really, those first 5 years before, you know, traditional school starts or standardized schooling starts, that's when you have your most flexibility to go and show them the world. And then you set the tone for how they view and experience the world around them.
That is so amazing. So how do you think it has impacted the kid, especially Luca, right? He'll be starting kindergarten in the fall. What have you seen in him as a result of all of this amazing travel?
That's such a good question, because there are things that I had hoped that the children would have gained or learned from traveling with us, especially so much this last year. And then to actually see it play out, there is no greater joy. We're here in San Francisco. He is in a preschool that is very multicultural. It's a city school. It's not a private school. And so he has a very diverse classroom. And walking in after coming back from a longer trip, instead of, you know, saying something like, oh, you know, you sound funny or you talk differently than me, he instead will ask the question, where are you from? What language is that?
That's amazing.
So just from a general like curiosity and inclusion, mm-hmm. standpoint, I feel like he really has shifted the way he would maybe approach someone that looks different than him or sounds different than him. And so, you know, at its core, just that human connection and the ability to be curious about, hey, one of his friends grew up in Morocco, and they can have conversations around, well, what was it like living in Morocco? Was it like living in Paris? Was it like this? What kinds of foods did you eat? He asks about spices and cooking. He, you know, he has questions about music. And so I think that exposure to cultures that are different than his own is a really, really powerful thing.
Yes, that's what Kiki's all about. You're speaking my language. I love it.
Awesome.
Let's go back to this amazing 3 weeks that you had. What would you say were the best parts for the family of those trips?
Yes. So one of the cool things about traveling with kids for work is that you don't get to pick the destinations.
Right. That's interesting. Like the decisions were made for you.
And it is bizarrely freeing, because what ends up happening is I can spend more time researching and, you know, reaching out to my network to see if anyone has any recommendations or connections to the places that I have to travel, because I'm not obsessing over, oh my gosh, the world is my oyster. How do I pick a place?
Right. Half the work is already done. Well, I mean, 25% exactly. Maybe.
Yeah. But definitely enough for us to be able to focus. And so
right.
Going into it, I should also say that it was a really, really interesting time to be traveling through Europe. So at the time, you know, in Stockholm, Greta Thunberg, she was actually mobilizing the climate strike, like at that time.
Wow.
In London, they were experiencing not just the Extinction Rebellion strikes and everything that came with the you know, the climate concerns that Greta was raising up north, but they were also going through a major election with very, very divided parties. So there were riots and rallies and a bunch of stuff happening there. In Paris, Notre Dame had just experienced that fire.
Burn. Ugh, yeah.
There was a lot of energy. Like there was a lot of unrest and a lot of energy you know, surrounding very, very important milestones and historical and cultural shifts happening in each of these places. But they were really, really challenging to explain to children.
Right.
And so just to kind of set the stage, like we were there during a very, very strange time that I think was really cool and afforded us more opportunities to really kind of immerse ourselves in what was happening that was outside of our four walls and in our experience here in San Francisco. And so I would say there are standout memories from each one of those stops. But I think from the perspective of the kids, they really enjoyed Stockholm. I think that's
really, that's cool.
Yeah. Again, maybe not the place that I would choose to go, especially with kids. Like I would just be like, oh, you know, that might be a fun trip to see the Northern Lights with my husband one day, like a romantic getaway. But they are incredibly family friendly, family first, and they have unreal parks. Like even in the cold, the boys got to see some of the best playgrounds in Stockholm. Their favorite was in this funny little open air museum slash park thing called Skansen. And they had like a little petting zoo. They could crawl through oversized rat nests, climb up old Viking ship masts. Like they had a really cool wolf exhibit. It was just, wow. It was really wild and cool. And it was empty because we were there midweek. You know, the kids were in school. Well, unless they were with Greta. And so the boys just had their run of the park. So I would say that Stockholm was very, very, it's very underrated and we had a great time. It's quaint, it's beautiful, you know, having the water feature there in town and just everything was designed for kids. I felt very welcome bringing the boys to, you know, a nice dinner in the evenings, as opposed to, oh, well, you know, we'll order room service or we'll pick up something quick and eat on the run. They were very, very inclusive. And then in London, this is so silly, but one of the highlights was something that was incredibly touristy that I probably would have sworn never to do. And certainly without kids, I never would have done it. But I, you know, I'd mentioned Las Vegas earlier and going to the medieval banquet, the boys got so hopped up on that when we were there, we were touring the Tower of London and we were walking around and they have these crows in the courtyard, that they feed and it's this whole thing. So anyway, we were obsessed with the animal situation happening and, someone handed me a pamphlet for a medieval dinner that was in an old underground cellar, in the port next to the Tower of London. And I thought, you know, shoot, let's do it.
That's awesome. I love it.
I tell you, they decked us out. We showed up. So we all got dressed like royalty. We had two little princes.
Oh my gosh.
And there was singing, there was dancing, there were fire eaters, there were contortionists, there were, you know, the boys had whole chicken legs that they got to huzzah with. And it was like the most cheesy thing that I never, ever would have done. They just caught me at the exact right moment in the right mood. And we had a ball. We had so much fun that Juno, our little one, actually ended up throwing up because it was so much excitement. And it was totally worth it.
Well, what a great, and you, like you said, it was just, they caught you at the right time.
Yeah. And then I would say Paris was probably my personal favorite. I had to work a lot in Paris. So Ben, my husband, got to do some of the Parisian things without me that I would have enjoyed doing with them. But I think it was my favorite because it's where my husband proposed. And
you're kidding.
I had been there before. And so I really got to experience Paris kind of again for the first time with them. You know, taking them to Montmartre where you know, my husband proposed once upon a time and trying to explain what that means.
That's so sweet.
And watching other people get engaged, you know, there too and having them cheer and clap for these strangers was a really fun experience. But Paris is a second home to me. And so having this time to have the boys just really kind of revel in just the casual Parisian life.
Right.
You know, walking through the Tuileries with, you know, a ham sandwich. I mean, just like the real simple pleasures of that is Paris. And, you know, we found this boat captain that restored this boat that he picked up in Amsterdam that holds four people. And we got to do a cruise along the Seine.
Oh, cute. And oh, nice.
That way. So like, it just was a very lovely cap to our trip, I would say.
Well, and that's the great thing, too. I mean, even though you had to work quite a bit, spending that long in a place allows you to really take it easy, go with the flow of the city and not feel like you have to, you know, dart around and see everything. So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, getting that Parisian experience was the best part, which is so nice.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, fantastic. Traveling with the little ones, what's some advice or tips or things that you did? How did you get them engaged in the travel?
Absolutely. So maybe I'm just too big of a travel nerd, but I really like getting them amped up before we go by by reading books, by watching movies, watching Paddington before going to London. He had some context around, you know, the tube and the infrastructure in the underground. He had some idea of, you know, what Big Ben was, to see kind of some of these mile markers, you know, watching the BFG, reading the BFG, and understanding who the queen was, so that when we went to and walked by the palace, he'd be like, oh, the queen's in there.
Oh, that's so great.
I wonder if the big friendly giant is in the garden and we just can't see him. And so creating some sort of points of recognition before going somewhere, I think is really valuable, because then you can also use that when you get there. It's like, okay, we got to hurry up and get our shoes on. Don't you want to go see the guards?
Smart.
So it's not just like, hurry, we have to go see this thing that you have no context on. And then food. Food is another big thing for me, for our family. Exposing our kids to different foods is very, very important, but it's hard when you're at home. You get stuck in routines, and especially when you're in a deep routine of just, you know, eating at home and going to school and getting your work done, and everyone just is kind of trudging along. It's hard to mix things up on, you know, a wild Tuesday night
and right.
Here's some pickled fish. Like that just doesn't happen in my house as far as I would like. And so talking about food before we go places is really helpful, and using the opportunity of travel to get them to expand their horizons is really fun. So we ate the blood sausage in London. We ate the pickled fish in Stockholm. We slurped down escargot and oysters in Paris.
Nice work.
You know, so using that as an excuse of like, hey, don't you want to eat like a Parisian today? Oh, how exciting. Let's go try a crepe from the streetcar. I think that that's a really fun way to help them feel more connected to where you are. And I also think that it creates sensory memories. So we did get a crepe from, you know, a little old man on the street, and it was a lemon and sugar and butter crepe when Luca was having just, you know, a rough afternoon, and his blood sugar had dropped. And so everything gets put on pause, get the kid a snack.
Crepe stand. Yeah.
And, you know, months later, we were walking down the street and there was a little crepe shop, and he could smell the lemon and he could smell the sugar, and he insisted on walking in, and he wanted to see how they were preparing their crepes. And he was like, I need to have this. This is like what we had in Paris. It was probably just a sneaky way of getting sugar, you know, in the middle of the day, but it totally worked on me.
It worked.
Yeah. And then I have a bunch of like actual travel hacks. I don't know if those are of interest.
Sure. Throw some out.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Ground transportation is always a big concern for parents, because you're trying to sort out car seats. It really becomes cumbersome to kind of tote everything around and try to manage everything. One thing that we were very explicit about in this trip was to look up car seat laws before going. And so what we discovered was, you know, when we stopped over in New York, Uber actually has an Uber family option where they have car seats and drivers that just have car seats for kids. And they only will pick up families. So we were able to avoid a very expensive car rental in New York, and then also avoid, you know, the blood sugar meltdowns, or we missed a nap because we were too busy at the Met and now everyone is losing their minds. Now let's try to get on a busy subway.
Fun.
And it happens.
Totally.
But knowing your outs and your options are really important to me. And so, you know, in New York, we figured out that the Ubers had car seats. In Stockholm, we were there for long enough that we could rent a car, and we found a very reasonably priced place. But we brought with us something that I think that they're called MyFold, MIFOLD. They are the smallest, lightest little travel car seats that are absolutely better than nothing. So when you rent a car, you can get car seats thrown in, so you don't have to bring your own. But when you're out and about in, you know, taxi cabs, or, you know, your situation is, throw those in the kids' backpacks and you are good to go.
Brilliant.
So I think we saved ourselves a ton in luggage fees and extra burden and hassle, since we had so many stops, by just looking up the laws before we went. Like in London, the cabs don't apply car seat laws, and they actually have little seatbelt attachments that help you. So looking it up before you go will make it easier when you are in kind of those dire straight moments of like, we just need to get home.
That's a great tip.
And then, like I said, travel light. I'm a big, big fan of traveling light. And we use, this is going to make me sound very you'll know that I'm a Virgo. We use color-coded travel packing cubes. So even if we're all in one suitcase, which I try to get us as close to that as possible, we all have our own colored packing cubes so I can quickly be like, oh, Juno just threw up after his medieval banquet. Quick, grab the red travel, you know, packing cube. And I know that I will quickly be able to find his clean clothes.
Super smart.
Yeah. I think another tip that I was thinking about was on the airlines. Something that we tested this trip, I had not done this previously and it paid out. My tickets were paid for through work, but my family's tickets were not. And so I was looking, you know, we were going to have to pay for that out of pocket, which is fair, absolutely. But I was only looking at the airlines that I normally would book for myself. And so I was looking at coach seats, and Juno at the time was still a lap infant. And so trying to figure out, you know, the most economical way to get everyone on a plane for, you know, this epic adventure became really costly very fast. And so what I ended up doing was kind of checking all of the smaller carriers that maybe I normally wouldn't have looked at, but looking in their first class seats or business class, we actually ended up getting really, really good deals that were in some cases less than coach on major carriers for the bigger, wider seats on a smaller carrier. So Norwegian Air Shuttle in between New York and Stockholm and Stockholm and London. And it was awesome. Like,
oh, good. I'm glad. I haven't had anyone use them yet. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, it still is not a major, this is not first class on any other, you know, major carrier. There was no champagne happening here.
Darn.
But we got what we needed as a family, which is the extra space.
Space, yeah.
For that alone. And I do think that our meals were better. Based on what I was seeing pass behind me, I highly recommend looking outside of your usual paths. And we actually ended up getting mileage because they were connected to larger carriers on the back end. So that was something I hadn't done before, and the bet paid off. So
fantastic. Amazing adventures last year, and you have some good ones on the books this year. Unfortunately, we're all in a time where some things are being put on pause. What was and is on your docket for 2020?
Yes. Interesting times indeed. So what we have on the books that is currently being reevaluated is another European adventure that would include the majority of Germany, top to bottom.
Fun.
On kind of a family adventure in terms of our genealogy. So that would be really fun.
Oh, neat.
And then coming down through Switzerland into Northern Italy. Basically every place that's on the do not fly list. I'm like, oh yeah, I have tickets. We have this big family trip planned with some of my extended family. We did have a trip to Africa that was just canceled.
Oh, that just hurts my heart. And you all were going to South Africa?
Yes. There were giraffes and elephants involved and a good friend's 50th birthday. So that is no longer, unfortunately.
Oh my goodness, you got to get that rescheduled. Oof.
I know. But we actually have been talking through our contingency plans for, you know, all of the grand adventures that are currently on the horizon. We can do those and we will be able to do those again. But in the meantime, our contingency plan is to stick local and do some really fun staycation things and leaning into the outdoors. So camping, looking at figuring out some nice family-friendly hikes and some outdoor fun times. So
that's great. And there's services now where you can actually, I mean, even it makes camping easy not so like you have to go out and buy a tent kind of thing or an RV.
Absolutely. And there are also companies that rent these things in full packages.
Yes. I was just looking at some of those great developments.
Absolutely. So we are not going to let this slow us down. We're going to be mindful and we're going to be respectful of the greater good. But if we need to pitch a tent in the backyard to enjoy it, we will.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you so much for sharing everything. You've peppered in throughout why you travel with the kids. Anything else you want to add on that front on why you think it's so important?
You know, I think the best piece of advice that I can share that really has demonstrated itself to us as parents really is that advice from our first birth coach, which was whatever you do that you love, continue to do that. I am reminded of that every time I start to second guess something, or I think something might be too much, or I think that they won't get it or they won't remember it. The reality is that you will. So don't let anything get in your way of creating the experience and the life that you want to create for your children and for yourself. They are far more flexible than we give them credit for. Just help open their eyes to what this great big world has to offer and take everything with a slice of curiosity.
Couldn't have said it better. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us. I just loved everything you had to share, and hopefully the listeners really enjoyed everything as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We cannot wait to travel with Kiki.
Yay! Adventure awaits. Thank you, Caitlin, for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. There's an overview of the episode in the show notes. Head over to the podcast section of the Kiki's Big Adventures website for all the specifics from this episode and lots more travel planning tips. Look forward to traveling together again on the next episode. Adventure awaits!